Take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 16.
I'm all excited about preaching tonight. You guys ever lose your excitement? Brother Templeton, you get excited when you're preaching? What else in life is there? This is it. I'd rather be here than anywhere else. You're supposed to say amen because you'd rather be here than anywhere else too. Even if you'd rather be somewhere else, I don't care. I'm glad I'm here. Hallelujah. Go tribe. I think that's how you did it. Something like that. Didn't finish with tribe there. Title of the message tonight is Raising Timothy's, plural, for Missions. Okay? Raising Timothy's for Missions. Growing up, like any other kid, my eyes were huge when it came to stores. I wanted everything. And my dad told me, what your dad and mom's probably told you, that money doesn't what? Grow on trees. Well, I'm here tonight to submit to you that neither do missionaries grow on trees either. I think there's a long, arduous process of raising Timothys that God calls to take to the mission field. And it's just not raising Timothys either. It's raising wives for the future Timothys, right? I mean, God knows the man needs his help meet. Ladies, come on. Here's your chance to really stick it to your husbands.
Amen.
Thank you. Anybody want to second that amen? Verse number one. Then came he to Derbe. That's not the Brown. Okay, Derbe. And Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported, speaking of Timothy here, of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. Again, the title, Raising Timothy's for Missions. Heavenly Father, bless the preaching of thy word tonight. It's been an honor to have been here and just fellowship with the folks and get a chance to talk with other missionaries. Lord, we've been blessed with the two different specials tonight. Lord, do something in the hearts of all those who put aside their time to come to support their church in their mission revival. I pray for Pastor Lance and his wife. You continue to give them wisdom as they lead this church. And Lord, may we all get a burden, not just to reach Scandinavia or Peru, but Lord, to reach the entire world. And may it start here at Calvary Baptist tonight. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. I'd like to look at, number one, his family. Number two, his training. And number three, his service. If take notes, or you want to keep track of time, you could do it that way too. His family is talked about here in Acts 16. And I went back and just checked out exactly the time frame when Paul was through this area. And it was A.D. 49. Okay, I have some other times to throw in the slots here. This is A.D. 49. What do we know about Derbe and Lystra? More about Lystra. Paul had been there before, and that's where he got stoned. Nice group of people, no? How'd you like to be a pastor of a church where they stoned a former pastor? Boy, that would make you kind of nervous. So Lystra is somewhat famous here because of that fact. These two cities are located in Turkey. So Paul would have had him gone all the way up north past the Mediterranean and then over west to reach this area. That was a long haul for anyone, especially on foot. And there we find that he met a certain young man named Timotheus. What do we know about him? He was about 16 years old, best I can figure out. Everybody wants 17 or 13 or 18, so I just kind of, you know, added them up and divided and got the average. About 16 years old. Boy, what I'd give to be 16 again. Man, I got my driver's license when I was 16. Now, my five kids, I made them wait to the second half of their senior year. Boy, were they upset with me. Sure to save me up my insurance premiums, though, especially for my two boys. I probably saved a lot of lives by making my two boys especially wait to the second half. But my dad gave my card 60. 16 was a great time for me. But his father was an unbeliever. An unbeliever. His mother Eunice and grandmother Lois were believers. Think about that. A mixed family, spiritually speaking. On one hand, dad not saved. On the other hand, mom was saved. Oh, pastoring in the inner city for 23 years before our church finally moved to the suburbs for a total of 30. I had so many single ladies who would come to church by themselves because early on in life they had married an unbeliever. It's sad. I don't know how many ladies would come and cry and say when they'd go home at night, their husband would do nothing but yell and scream and cuss them out for this and for that. Yet they remained true to church and the Lord. Well, I give those ladies a lot of credit. I have seen more ladies stick out a mixed marriage like that, stick out in church, than I've seen a man do it. Because men marry unsaved spouses too, right? They don't last in church, though. Those wives are good at getting their husbands out. I'm saying that to say this. Timothy must have really had a strong, influenced training by his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, even though it was a mixed marriage. If you're in a mixed marriage or like that, there's hope for you too. If Lois and Eunice could do that, you could do that too. In fact, if they were able to raise a son and train a son, and he became one of the great, great missionaries, you can do that too. But, young people, might be easier if you marry in the faith to begin with. Amen? Might be a whole lot easier. Well, what do we know about Timothy here? Again, his family. He was well reported of by the brethren. Take your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 20. We'll be looking at some different verses tonight. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 11. I'm just going to read. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Somehow, Eunice and Lois had raised Timothy to the point that when everybody looked at his work, according at least to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11, his work was pure and his work was right. And he was well reported of. Here's so many bad things about teenagers today. They do this and they do that and they're disrespectful and they're smart, Alex. Not Timothy. He was well reported. And to have an adult, especially an elder adult, say that about a young person is saying a lot. Timothy had some character instilled. He had some integrity applied in his life. So he just wasn't picked off a tree. He was raised. Effort was put into that. We also find that he was uncircumcised. Well, we find that Paul ended up circumcising him. See, Timothy would have been fine without being circumcised because I have some verses I'm not going to turn to. Galatians 5, 6 and Romans 2, 29. It's the circumcision of the heart that's really the important thing. And Paul said that whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised, it's your faith that makes a difference for salvation. But Paul knew when he was going to travel, he would go to different synagogues that had Jewish people in. And if they knew, which they would because his father was a Greek, that Timothy was not circumcised, there'd be some problems. So Timothy was circumcised. Sometimes we have to make some sacrifices, ladies and gentlemen, to get the job done. That may not be necessary some places, but was going to be necessary here. You may say, what in the world is circumcision? Ask your pastor. I'll leave it at that. Point one, his family. Point two, his training. Look with me in Proverbs 22, a very familiar verse. At Bible college, I was always instructed. I didn't always practice what I was instructed, but I was instructed always, don't be afraid to use familiar verses because they're so good. A great verse here. 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You've practiced that. Maybe you've had a child, a son or daughter, as they're raised up. You raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And maybe, you know, those 18, 19-year-old years, somewhere near, they kind of strayed and wandered here and wandered there. then only to find out there really was nothing out there like the prodigal son found out and ended up coming back home. You still may have a child out who hasn't come home yet. There is hope. Don't give up hope for that one. But that is our job as parents. And I want you to see, even Lois, it's your job as a grandparent to continue to help in the job of training up your grandchildren. Look with me in a great verse here, 2 Timothy. We'll probably spend a lot of our time in 2 Timothy here, obviously. 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 5. Paul speaking here, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. That unfeigned faith was passed down from his mother, who had an unfeigned faith, who had it passed down from her mother, Timothy's grandmother, an unfeigned faith as well. What is unfeigned faith? Well, let's see here. I have down here, to feign is to fake it, is to falsify, is to deceive, is to pretend it is a counterfeit. And the unfeigned faith that Timothy had, that was passed down from Eunice and Lois, he saw in them, he didn't see hypocrisy. The one thing that's going to stop any home from raising a kid for the Lord, it's going to be this feigned or fake faith. President Trump's been talking about fake news. Brother Don talked about the fake news up in Sweden. Everybody's so happy and fun-filled and everything. Fake news, that's what we're talking about here. If you're living in a home and you'd like to raise a Timothy or maybe a Mrs. Timothy from the cradle up, you cannot have a fake faith. It will be noticed. Your children, what they see you do on Sunday, then see how you live on Monday through Saturday, if it doesn't balance out, to them, that is fake religion. It's hypocrisy. I think parents, boy, I don't know how to say this. I think we need to take more responsibility in our kids' lives, in our grandkids' lives. We have to show them that we have an unfeigned faith. We are the real deal. We are the real McCoy. And I know that to be true. You've heard me talk about my parents. When I was 18 years old, I worked at Howard Johnson's. They called it Hojo's up in Cleveland, right at Brook Park and Pearl Road. Anybody know up that way up there? It's a great place up there. And I worked at Howard Johnson's. I was the bus boy. So I'd get the dishes and I'd take it back and then I'd clean them, run through this big, big machine. It was nasty work. I didn't really like it. 6 hours from 4 to 10 I did it the second half of my senior year. You know why? I asked my dad for a car. Remember I told you what my dad always said last night? What was my dad's always answer to me? No! Who said that? Who said that first? You got it, brother. You are listening. But I asked my dad for a car. He said yes. I said, when are we going to buy it? He says, we? There's no we here. You are going to buy it. Thanks a lot, Dad. So I got a job. Well, I would come home at night, and I would walk past my dad's bedroom. And I would hear my dad on his knees praying for his kids. See, a 6'3", 250-pound World War II veteran on his knees praying for me and my other two brothers and sisters. Boy, that did a lot to my heart. And I'd pass where Mom would sit, and she read the Daily Bread. And her glasses would be off, like that, and the Bible would be opened to the reference of that day in the Daily Bread. It's faithful in it. To hear your mom and dad pray is very special. Do your kids hear you pray? I know your kids are probably older and gone, but we do have some who are still in the home here. And you do have grandkids who probably come over and visit you. Have they ever heard you pray out loud? I heard my dad and mom pray. It did tremendous things for me. Showed me they were real. If you don't have an unfeigned faith where your kids and grandkids can look at you and see the real deal, why should they want to live for Christ? Why should they want to go to church? Why should they want to be a missionary? And how many kids from Christian schools graduate and never come back? Is that the Christian school's fault? No, it's not their fault at all. Whose fault is it? Well, number one, it's theirs. Okay, well, let's not pass the buck anywhere else. But I have to wonder, what have they seen at home all those years? Now, I had a Christian school. We had kids who graduated and never came back. But we had a large percentage that went on to college, Christian college, and are serving the Lord today. The vast majority are still in church today. And they'll see me around town. Oh, Pastor Lapis, we love you. Our school was great. Well, you didn't say that back then when I really needed to hear that. But they're still serving the Lord. Because I believe that somehow we need to pour ourselves into our flocks, Pastor. I think we can safely say here that Timothy was homeschooled. Do you not agree? Homeschooled. I mentioned last night about Christian schools. I'm going to mention it again. Just for food for thought. I read today, I went to the web because I heard it on Fox News this morning, that in Charlotte, North Carolina, there's a school system under that county, Mecklenburg, that tried to slip in a book to the elementary age kids titled Jacob's Dress. You wouldn't believe it. Any state but North Carolina, you know, Baptist country, Jacob's Dress. And there was pushback. Thank the Lord for that. So then they tried another one, My Princess the Boy. How would you guys like to be called, your dad call you, hey, how are you, a little princess? And that got pushed back. That didn't work. But what they did end up doing, they have a storybook now with a red crayon and a blue crayon. And the red crayon says, even though I'm red, I really think I'm blue. All the transgender stuff going on. Now, I don't know if they're going to get that through or not. Eventually, they will. And for all those who go to public school, here's the way it is. When my wife and I first got married, I was 20 and she was 19. Had no idea what we were doing. And going to Ohio State there, and we lived on the west side of Columbus in a nice neighborhood. Old neighborhood, smaller homes, mostly elderly people. But you know what? Everybody kept their yards up. They mowed it. They had shrubberies out there. You know what I'm saying? A nice neighborhood. My rent was $75 a month. Why did I move? Well, when I was pastoring, we would go down that same street. We'd knock on doors to pick up kids for the bus ministry. Those homeowners, they had moved out. And the ghetto just kept pushing out from downtown Columbus, and the ghetto overran it. We talked to one person, and they said they're getting ready to put bars on their windows because the neighborhood got so bad. That's how the public school's gone, folks. One time, way back, when I was growing up in the 50s and 60s, the Bible was still taught in the public school. We said the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag. I could go on and on all about the good things. Creation was still taught. Abortion we hadn't really heard of. I would go on and on. Like the house I lived in back in the 70s out of the house state, that neighborhood's gone. Public school, it's gone. Can I get an amen there? For all those who say, you know, public school is the only option, okay, here's what you do then. Please go meet with your teacher of your children and let them know that you are a Christian. And you want to know what the curriculum will be teaching their children this year. And I think you have every right to ask them if they are a Christian. And you need to say, are you going to teach creation in this classroom tomorrow? I mean, really come out strong as a Christian. Show your unfeigned faith. And go to the PTA meetings. And stand up and protest if you have to. Good night. So if that's going to be the route you're going, give your kids a chance. Be part of the system. Try to hold up some type of gospel flag for them. But I'll tell you what, you wait. I have it written down here because I always get the letters, the LGBTQ. You all know what that stands for, right? I don't even want to say it in church, Pastor. I'm not even going to say if that stands in church. You know, some things you just don't say in church. It's so evil and wicked. When you get one of that crowd teaching your kid, I think you'll probably change schools. You'll probably change schools. If we're going to raise Timothys, we have to get them the right education. You have to be able to teach right from wrong, and you can't let them be influenced. That's not a good, unfeigned faith position. That's not sincerity. And changing back a little bit, as our kids are growing up, they need to see mom and dad together. Unity. Isn't that what you talk about, brother? Unity. That word was mentioned several times. I like that word, where dad and mom are on the same page. Your kids need to see the real deal, where mom and dad are working together for the cause of Christ. I mean, there was never any question in our home where what's going to happen Wednesday night. We're in church. Special meetings, we were in church. I mean, all that. And when I had kids, it was the same thing. There was never any question where we're going to be. It was just, you know, set. That's how it ended. That's how it acted. I used to tell parents when they were thinking about taking kids out of our Christian school and putting them in the public school for whatever reason. Well, they got 2,000 kids at that public school. They really have to be the best. We had in the 30s, 40s, or 50s, depending on how kids graduate out. And I said, listen, who would you rather have your kids hanging out with? Me or some anti-Christian school teacher for 40 hours a week? They said, we don't want to answer that in front of you. Do you know Timothy at age 16? He got to hang out with Paul. He walked everywhere with Paul, all over the place. And hearing Paul, being trained by Paul, I would think that I'd want my kids around my preacher here at this church. Everybody says. Thank you. Whichever one got the loudest voice there. I want to have my kids. I was talking to some of the kids in our Christian school where I still teach. And I said, you guys ought to be hanging out around Pastor Manus. He's the pastor there. You ought to be knocking on his door trying to hang out with him. Go here, go there. Let him rub off on you. That is God's man. And by the way, education started where in America? Before it was public. Started in our churches so they could read the Bible. His training. This is now about A.D. 62 when 1 Timothy was written. And Timothy is about 30 years of age. In 2 Timothy, it's 67, or A.D. 67, he's then 35. That gives you the bracket. They considered the young man between 30 and 40, and after that, he'd earned his stripes. That's why Paul says, let no man despise thy youth, because Timothy was still in his early 30s, and many people were in 40s and 50s, and it was odd for them to look down somebody much younger than them to teach them and guide them. So that's why Paul said, let no man despise thy youth, and we'll get to that. But as you're looking at your kids here, what would be involved in our training? Of course, I mentioned reading and praying if we're going to raise young Timothys here. Attend all services. Never, ever miss. You say, what happens if they're sick? Never, ever miss. How about if they broke a leg? Never, ever miss. That's serious. To be in church. What made our church great there in Columbus? And God, boy, I tell you, God gave me a great church. People were faithful. They never missed. Sometimes I wish they did. You know, somebody give me a hard time. You're laughing in the back there. No, I did. I'm glad they were there. Here's one. Don't speak ill of the church at home. Okay? Don't speak ill of the church. Oh, my goodness. It's going to be a hornet's nest. Those kids are going to repeat what you say at home about the preacher and his wife. Eventually, it's going to slip out. Stress missions. I don't think your pastor would mind if you asked to make a copy of Brother Templeton's mission letter and took the copy home and would read it at dinner some night and just talk about it. Or I don't think Brother Don would mind you getting one of his mission letters and taking it home and reading about evil, wicked, ungodly Scandinavia. I get it right? I think I got it right there. Wouldn't that be nice? We used to read, I forget the author from Baptist Mid-Missions who wrote all the books about the Congo. Think of his name. I'm going to think of his name. He had like 7 or 8 he had written, and Baptist Mid-Mission published them, and we bought them all. And every night after we'd have our devotions, after we ate, we'd read through a chapter of those mission books. They were exciting. I like reading them more than my kids did, I think. But eventually they got into it too. But if you don't stress missions, how are they going to get interested in missions? Here's one. Teach them how to dress right. Teach them how to dress right. I'm not going to go there. Be good here. Ooh, I need to move. Okay, teach them to dress right. Teach your guys to look sharp. Really teach them to be sharp looking. Get them a decent haircut. And my goodness, ladies, tighten your seatbelt now. Men, don't let your wives determine what your boy's haircut looks like. How's pastoring? This kid comes in one day, and he had a girly haircut, and his father's next to him. I said, what's going on here? I thought it was a joke or something. He said, well, Pastor, you know, his mother thought it looked really cute. I said, what? His mom determined his haircut? In our house, my dad would take my older brother, myself, my younger brother in the basement. He had these clippers, and it booze, 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 booze. We had holes in our heads. We're bleeding. There was no hair left. We had bumps. We didn't look like some fifi. Dad determined a haircut. Something just like who controls the remote, you know? It's kind of like that. Folks, please have your girls dress modestly. Oh, Pastor, Brother Don, to attempt to, I'm in churches every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and I see some of the wildest dress anymore. I just, wow. I mean, it's not modest or covering. It's that word modesty, it's in this book here too, 1st, 2nd Timothy, that we talk about modesty. That cuts across all cultures for all time. The key word, modest. With shamefacedness. That means nothing should ever be worn that would cause an evil, wicked man to lust after that person. I mean, it's just something that's done there. And every church has their own idea of where modesty ends and begins. I don't think we should go back to the 1915s when ladies wore their dresses to the ground and their hair was in buns up to the ceiling. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying, come on, folks. God's house. Sanctuary where he meets with us. We ought to teach our young girls somehow. Didn't the girls look nice last night singing? Wasn't that a blessing? And the kids tonight up here and singing in that, and even the song director looked pretty good. Probably had to wear a sport coat and a tie. See, if we're raising young Timothys for the mission field, they're going to have to go somewhere and teach all these things that are in 1st and 2nd Timothy. That's why Paul is teaching these things to Timothy. And I better hurry up. Try to sit together with your kids, church. Sit together. Oh, I love to see families sitting together. When kids would not sit together, you know what happened? They got in trouble. You expect it, I guess. What would hinder proper training in the home? I had down Proverbs 17:1. You can look there. Missing church for sports. Oh, my kids in Wednesday night soccer, Wednesday night flag football, Wednesday night baseball. Can't be there. Unfeigned faith? That's a fake faith. Make sure they're involved in all the youth activities. Here's what will hurt that training. Allowing too much social media. Every night at some time, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, or 9, you collect all the social media. TVs off, iPads down, cell phones, check to see where your kids have been, and have silence. I got to read this verse in Proverbs. This is great. Because our kids are so caught up in the social media, they don't have time to think about God. Proverbs 17, verse 1 says, better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith. And that takes me to my next thought. I'm still on point two. Point three is going to be pretty fast. Yelling and screaming around the house. Oh, that will really drive a kid crazy. A lot of times, I've witnessed it. I've been in homes where a kid acts up and the parents yelling and screaming, you stupid kid, on and on. Ephesians 6:4 talks about parents, don't provoke your kids to wrath. Colossians 3:21, don't provoke your kids to anger, lest they be discouraged. They see yelling and screaming. I've seen it. Arguing, swearing, throwing things, hateful things. Why would they want to be a missionary? 17, verse 1, better is a dry morsel quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifice with strife. I hope you have a peaceful home. Oh, I used to love to come home at our place after school. Mom had something ready to eat. I mean, it was quiet. You could do your homework, right? Kids, you do still do homework, right? I mean, just not students in the 60s did homework. You have homework, I hope. It was a peaceful place to be. I loved coming to my house. It's quiet. It's peaceful. Last point. Let's see. What do we have here? We had his family, his training, then his service. At age 16, he started walking on the mission trails with Paul. At age 30, the first epistle was written to him. At age 35, the second epistle was written to him. Several things he did. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. What did he do? Paul said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and purity. He was walking around being an example. That's what he saw in his mom, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois. He saw an example. He emulated that. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, Paul told young Timothy here, about a 30-year-old man, well, at this point, he's probably 35, as I said, says, flee also youthful lust. Follow after righteousness, faith, charity, and so on and so forth. We need to teach our young people how to run away from sin. Okay? Evil pursueth sinners. Got to be careful about that. He was an example. He was an evangelist. 2 Timothy 4, 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. He did. He won people to the Lord. All of us ought to be actively trying to win people to Christ. And he did errands. So he was an example. He was an evangelist. He did errands. And I have 10 references starting in Acts 16 and ending in Hebrews 13 where Timothy's name is mentioned. Here's what's connected with his name. He was called a work fellow, a beloved son, faithful in the Lord, our brother. He was called a preacher, a servant, and a minister. When I surrendered to go to Baptist Bible College, I just got to Ohio State, and I was head of the Baptist Bible College. My father-in-law, he wanted to beat me up. He hated me so bad, taking his daughter and his granddaughter away. Really upset about that. And I ended up coming back. Doing what God wanted me to do. My mom was unhappy because I wasn't going to be a what? Who remembers? A dentist. Well, you know what? We raised our kids just like I talked about here. And we raised our girls to be modest, our boys to look sharp like their dad. No love for the preacher here. And some in my family, on my wife's side and on my side, they criticized us. You guys are making a cocoon. Look how you're making them dress, cutting their hair. The fashion's long hair. And, boy, a lot of criticism. And I say this in all humility. Then they saw some of the other kids on both sides have children, and they let their kids do anything they want, Pastor. Oh, their kids ended up in so much trouble. All of a sudden, Tim and Cindy Lapish didn't look like bad parents. They looked like pretty good parents. You know, when you get to push back because you want to raise your kids to be young Timothys or your grandkids as young Timothys, because I don't know how long Preacher Templeton's going to stay in the field. Did you say last night? How long are you going to stay? He didn't say. And he's not saying now either. I mean, he can't stay forever. We've got to have more young Dons coming up and young Beverlys coming up, right? Somebody's got to replace him, but they're going the other end of the world from where you're at down there. Folks, young Timothys aren't picked off trees, they are raised. May this church pray about raising young Timothys. Father, this pastor comes and closes out the service. Thankful for the opportunity to talk about this great young man, Timothy, who was such a stalwart of the faith and did marvelous things under the tutelage of Paul, being led by the Holy Spirit of God. Bless this invitation. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.